Sister is a good friend and a wonderful advocate and a great leader, Carla Sneegas. She is at the Indiana Tobacco Prevention and Cessation Agency. Oh, what? Huh? Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to say, wait a minute, you're now with the Indiana Department of Health Services. I'm going to let Carla introduce herself. Anyway, Carla has done some fantastic work, and if you didn't know, she was the ATOD section's John D. Slade advocate winner last year, and so we're very pleased to have her here today, and I am happy to turn the microphone over to her to tell us about attacks on state tobacco control programs. Carla, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia. Great to see all of you today, and I look forward to sharing a little bit of information with you. I also want to just mention that I have the pleasure this year of serving as the chair of the Tobacco Control Network, which is a network of tobacco control program managers at the state level, as well as other staff. And so if you work at the state level and you would like to become involved in TCN, we'd love to have you. It's not just for the managers, it's really for all staff, and we're really trying to ramp some efforts up this year, and I'll tell you a little bit more about them later. I have no disclosures other than my agency was abolished last year. Some days we as tobacco control managers just simply want to hide, because this is what it's felt like this past year. We've been under attack. Other days we simply want to redo. We want to be able to start it over again and see if we can come out better at the end of the day. But I can assure you that despite the attacks that have happened on state tobacco programs, that we're not going to let them win. We're going to re-energize ourselves, and we really need, this is my plea, my advertisement here this morning, we need everyone's help desperately to rebuild the tobacco control movement because of the attacks that we've seen this year. Morale is down, and there's no doubt about it. But I think that there's enough of us that know we're not going to let this industry win, and we've got to build that passion back up, and we've got to build more support back up. And it is absolutely crucial that our state tobacco control programs be a critical part of that. And we need the advocates' help to do that. It was a bad year for tobacco control. As Cynthia already said, no new state smoke-free air laws. No significant tax increases. There were a couple of tax increases that Danny told me about, modest tax increases of 30 cents or 40 cents, but no significant tax increases. And in fact, we had a tax rollback in New Hampshire, tax rollback threats in other states. But very, very significantly, tobacco program funding cuts in a number of states. And two of the MSA-funded created entities that were funded to try to do things differently were completely abolished, Indiana and North Carolina. So we now join the ranks of other states that tried to set something up 10 years ago to do something differently because they couldn't get it done through the traditional means that have been abolished. I know Laura is here. Wave your hand, Laura, because she can tell you the North Carolina story. I'm going to share some of the Indiana story here as we talk today. But both of our programs were accomplishing what we set out to accomplish, making steady progress, and we were thanked by being abolished. In North Carolina's situation, the budget was released in mid-June, and the agency was abolished by the end of the month in a two-week period of time. North Carolina lost their trust fund. North Carolina, money that was left from last year did move over to the health department, but that money will no longer be available at the end of the year. In our case, we were abolished. At the end of April, when the law went into effect, our statute was changed. This is interesting.
I know.
It's the industry.
It's the industry. video.
Oh, but
you get a minute.
But I can do this in the dark. That's okay, as long as you can see. And our law, the change for us went into effect in July. We actually came out probably as good as we could have hoped. Our agency had been in place for 10 years. We were a state agency like North Carolina, but we were a separate state agency, following all the rules and regulations, but not operating within another larger state bureaucracy. For us, they took our agency and moved us to the state health department, moved all of our assets to the state health department, but we were made into a commission, and we're one of six commissions now that report directly to the state health commissioner. So, you know, in terms of the situation that happened, we probably came out as good as we could have hoped. We lost two staff members rather than all staff members. But who's running the commission? The commission is being run. Of course, we have a state health commissioner, but the state health commissioner sits on the cabinet for the governor, and everything is basically run from the governor's office. Is that what you were looking for? Oh, who's running the commission? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm running the commission. Yes, and they didn't fire me because I was in an appointed position. So they asked me to stay on as the assistant commissioner for that commission. So, yeah, it was good for me. it's different, but in terms of we have had good collaboration from the state health commissioner's office and from the governor's office, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. The threats to federal grant funding, just as soon as we get money, there's threats for grant money, and that, from a state perspective, is really difficult, just as states are getting their CPPW programs going, the CPPW programs will be ending, and the community transformation grants are, you know, the potential, will the money be there? So this is all very, very, very tough to manage. Reduced private dollars for tobacco control hurts. It hurts a lot because it's hurt the advocacy side of the equation, and the state health programs, the state tobacco control programs, need the advocates so desperately, and we have very few private dollars for that now. And then I just end kind of a bad year by saying it's just, we're bruised. I think everyone is bruised from the fights that we've had. And keeping, trying to keep the infrastructure that we've built, especially over the last decade, trying to keep it in place. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about the Indiana case study. We were celebrating our 10th year anniversary, and here's how we were celebrating. This is what we accomplished in 10 years. We reduced smoking by 42% among high school youth, which equated to nearly 50,000 fewer youth smokers. Our adult smoking rate moved from 27.4% when we started at the beginning of the decade to 21.2%. And while that is still one of the highest in the nation, that's a 23% reduction in prevalence. We were very happy. Two consecutive years of reductions. Tobacco companies took it in the pocket in Indiana because per capita cigarette consumption was down, and then just overall cigarette sales had dropped significantly. And they were obviously after us after that. 285 million fewer packs of cigarettes sold in Indiana during that time. The savings, when calculated out from our change in adult prevalence, was a savings of nearly $2 billion in health care costs, a savings of $1 billion in healthcare costs from fewer adult smokers. I've got a mistake there. That should be a youth. Sorry about that. And then a savings of $76,000 of future smoking caused deaths. We'd recruited over 2,000 community organizations to be involved in our youth, our infrastructure at the local level. We've served over 60,000 Hoosiers through our Indiana Tobacco Quit Line. We've built a network of healthcare providers and employers to use the Quit Line, but to do more robust systems change. When we started out, we had less than 15% of the schools, public schools in our state, had a tobacco-free campus. The legislature didn't help us any. The legislature never helped us on this issue, but locally, through our local programs, we now have that up to 78% of the public school districts with 100% tobacco-free campuses. And we were part of that line that Cynthia showed of passing some ordinances last year, much fewer than we've passed in years past. One of those is under attack right now, has a lawsuit being sued by three VFW posts, Low Bob's Smoke Shop, and the Licensed Beverage Association. And we've won the first battle of that lawsuit, and we're now in the second battle of that lawsuit. And during this last decade, the taxes in Indiana increased sixfold. So for all of that success, we were abolished. That's what you have to look forward to. So, you know, I think I love the analogy that Terry Pahacek has used for several years. We have to think about our programs like a rubber band. And right now we're contracted. We're down here. And if we get more funding, we need to be able to look at how we can effectively use that funding quickly and effectively for the time period it's going to give us. Because if there's anything we've seen, it's the up and down funding. My funding went from a decade ago of $32 million down to a low of the appropriation last year by the Indiana General Assembly was $8 million. I still have a working budget of 10.8 because I was allowed by the governor's office to use some of our funds from our trust fund. So my working budget is 10.8. But the base that the legislature will be looking at next biennium will be $8 million. $8 million. And, you know, it did go up one biennium to $15 million. So that was good, but we've got to figure out how to more effectively adapt to this. I believe we've lasted as long as we have, and that we were not totally abolished because of the local tobacco control infrastructure that we built. And that was where we put our assets into building community programs. The blue areas show you where we have funded grants currently in Indiana. The gray areas are areas where we outreach to. Back in 2002, we had grants in all counties. So we've really maintained quite nicely, given a 70% funding cut over the years, maintained our infrastructure and trained the heck out of them. Trained them on why their focus had to be on policy change. So while it's a difficult environment in Indiana to do policy change, that's where they have to put their efforts. Now I want to say, because I keep looking at Stan, that one of the wonderful things that was provided to us last year first of all, so much help from so many of you in the room to help us fight for our programs and to help us really realize the value in our local programs and bring that to the table. UCSF put together a report on where our elected officials were going and how much money they were getting from the industry and how that had impacted almost zero activity over more than a century. Actually, the report went back to 1895. So I think that was pretty cool. but that report was, you know, we had excellent media coverage. That report helped us get media coverage when we were going through the attack. Our local tobacco control programs did a fantastic job of reaching out to editors, working on media. It was just going to happen because of the changes in the structure of the Indiana General Assembly and the changes in leadership at the Indiana General Assembly. I think we fought the best fight we could. The Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids helped us plan a campaign that was fantastic. We had so much help from ANR and from Heart, Lung, Cancer, and so many of other national organizations, including CDC helping us. But this, you know, it was a steam train that was just going to move forward. And we fought it off. We got 10 years of great lessons learned that we're now putting together. But we protected the infrastructure. We protected having a separate entity at the State Health Department now and protecting having our infrastructure in place. And we will continue to work through that to make change happen. I went back to look at, I think we were doing the right thing by doing that, because this quote, strong tobacco control policies are an outcome of hundreds of local and state citizen campaigns, and which was a tobacco industry quote that was in the 2007 IOM. So it is really hard for them to compete against, 60-some coalitions locally as compared to how they can stop us at the state level. To finish up, I think these are some of the things that we need to be looking at, and looking at how we can support our state tobacco control programs. We need to build more leadership. We've got a lot of new program managers coming on, and we need to build leadership with them so they can understand how they can do their job within the current constraints of what they have to work under. We need more strategic thinking. I was really happy with some of the recent, let's come together and let's look at how we can accelerate the decline in the tobacco rates that have been, meetings that have been convened by Dr. McAfee at OSH. Coordination and guidance continues to need to happen. In our state, one-third of my local coordinators turn over every year. So even though I've built a strong infrastructure, I've got to bring a third of them up to speed quickly every year, and we need to continue to have guidance on doing that. Again, technical assistance, collaboration, coordination, program spokespersons, and passion. And we're really working hard on rebuilding the passion in our state, because they feel like they've had their legs cut off. Our landscape is not that different, I think, from other states. You do more with less. This is about cutting money. And the more money we can cut, the more successful. That is the state of affairs. More accountability to prove our value. You know, dashboards. There's an expectation for more public-private partnership, which I actually think we've been able to use that as an asset within state government to show that we actually know how to do that. The economic recession, obviously, media, and then movement burnout. So this is just what it looks like for us. This is tobacco control health care costs. This is the amount we spend to address that. They outspend us 46-1, and the state gets a heck of a lot of money from tobacco revenues that is not going in to help the people that are paying to put those revenues in place. The Tobacco Control Network, TCN, has developed a national policy platform for the first time in 15 years. We are working to get that out to everyone, and we have a lot of resources that we're looking forward to sharing. We have a webinar coming up in November. It is a collaborative webinar with Tobacco-Free Kids. You'll be hearing more about that, and we're inviting groups to join us for that webinar to look at how we can rebuild the relationships between state tobacco control managers and the advocacy community to make sure that the indispensable indicator, which doesn't show up sometimes, is still there. It's us. It's us as the movement, the people, and we've got to become more human again to our own movement. We've got to become remarkable again to one another. We have to be faster on our feet, and we have to directly connect with one another more frequently, and don't forget that that's how we got to the success that we have today. And that's what's going to get us through these tough times. So thank you very much.